Hello and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the knitting podcast that's mostly about the projects. Find it on iTunes and now Acast through your podcast app, or subscribe via the feed link on the website. My name is Heather. You can find me on Instagram at The Ordinary Knitter, on Twitter as at The Ord Knitter, and on Ravelry at Ordinary Knitting. Hello and welcome to episode 66. This week, Brick is finished, hooray! Modifying old projects and the last bit of baby knitting for the time being. I feel that I should be speaking to you in an extremely small and sheepish voice because it's been 3 months since I last sat here with the daft headset on, just because that's how long it's taken me to get this jumper finished. In that time, I have also made 2 unicorns and half, 2/3, 3/4 of a sleep sack, or as my cousin called it, the cousin to whom I gave the first of the sleep sacks, a baby sock. But this jumper has really dragged on, and that's caused the hiatus. I'd begun to think that the day would never come when I would be reporting back on the finished item. Usually, when I finish a big project, I do a pattern review, but I don't think that would be fair to the designer of Brick, as I had to modify it a fair bit to meet my 16-year-old's exacting requirements and very slender frame. So I think maybe it's better to call this a pattern rundown, more of a description of what was involved than a review of and a review of the knitting experience, if you like, rather than a review of the finished item. Forgive me if I'm a wee bit hazy here and there as well, as it was an awfully long time ago since I started it. Brick is an Aran weight jumper, described in the pattern as a simple basic pullover, perfect as your everyday sweater. I would completely agree with that. I would just also add that it's a round neck, because for me that's one quite an important distinction with any garment that you wear on your upper half. Round neck puts it beyond the pale for me, V-neck ideal. This pattern is a very plain design, but they can be quite deceptively simple because it's all the more important to knit it well and execute all your techniques with precision, because there's nowhere to hide mistakes or anything else undesirable when you've got no cable, no twiddly bits, no different colours, no decorative scheme or anything like that. This pattern was created by Claire Lee, and it's available as a free Ravelry download, obviously link in show notes as usual. The recommended yarn to use is Brooklyn Tweed Shelter, which incidentally gets 4 out of 5 stars from over 3,000 ratings on Ravelry, which can't be bad. I used King Cole Recycled Cotton Aran in the shade Crocus because that was what my daughter chose. And I have to say, the King Cole Recycled Cotton Aran range has absolutely been my go-to yarn recently, but I think I'm maybe coming to the end of this cycle now and feel the need to go and use something else. Last year, I learnt the importance of swatching, finally, once and for all, certainly for anything that you're going to be wearing or where your size matters. So for this, I duly did my swatch and I ended up going down a needle size to get the gauge. The pattern calls for US size 9 needles. Minor pet peeve is when a pattern gives the needle size only in US sizes. Give us the measurement, give us the millimetre, and you can't go wrong. It's totally unambiguous. In the UK, a US size 9 is a 5.5mm needle, but I cast on with 5mm KnitPro Symphonies. Brick is designed in sizes extra small to 3X, and I made it in medium for my daughter, who is very slight but completely normal height and reasonably long-limbed. This jumper was a type of construction I hadn't come across before. It starts with knitting a large section of the neckline, followed by the raglan increases. Now, I have talked before about true raglans and other raglans, and this to me is an other, as the sleeves aren't created as separate entities which are all then threaded onto the same needle. But I'm aware this might be me having a warped idea of a raglan, but there it is. Excuse me, minor interruption. Door shut, moat filled, hungry dogs on duty. At one point, a section of the neckline is cast off, and this really threw me. It's a small section in the centre front, and when it's first done, it looks very odd and very wrong, just like there's been a bite out of the neckline. But this is just my inexperience showing. I asked on Ravelry, and as always, was sorted out by the fantastic people who roam the boards offering the benefit of their expertise. I did talk about this, I think, in my last podcast, way back in the dim and distant, a Steam podcast, and I included a link to the Ravelry thread, so if that's of any interest to you, you can go back and have a look at that. Long and short of it is, this so-called bite is designed to give the front of the neckline a slight drop, and in the finished item it blends in perfectly, and in the last pod I talk about the whys and wherefores behind that. I'll not rehash that just now. The body has two options. You can have it with shaping or no shaping. We decided to go with no shaping, partly because my daughter is so slender, though far from shapeless, but also because she had very firm ideas about how long the jumper needed to be. Honestly, it's an education creating something for a 16-year-old, the things that matter to her that wouldn't cross my mind, and no doubt vice versa. But also, we felt that if she had got to the point where she felt the main body of the jumper was the right length, but the shaping was only part way through, we felt there was quite a lot of scope for it turning out badly. On the upside, this jumper is very customizable. There are options at a number of points. So I think if I'd been, I don't know, if I was doing it for me, I'd probably include the shaping, but on this occasion we didn't. So eventually the jumper body was a length that Polly was happy with, so it was time to do the edging, a pretty standard ribbed welt. This calls for US size 7 or 4.5mm needles, and I decided to stick with that 4.5 rather than go down in proportion to the bigger needle. So the original pattern calls for a 5.5 main needle, and then you go down a whole millimetre for your smaller bits. I was only going down 0.5mm because I was a bit concerned that if I went down to a significantly smaller needle, it might all just start to look a bit silly. Casting off the jumper, bizarrely, was quite a hurdle. Not something I would ever have anticipated. I ended up doing it, tinking. Doing it again, differently. Tinking again. And then finally getting it, more or less right. God, what a rigmarole. I wanted to get a neat edge that didn't flare. I think that's pretty standard for a jumper. So I tried Russian bind-off, because I'd been looking around online and this had come up as a great jumper bind-off, but I ended up with terrible flare. I don't know why that happened. These are the times when I would love to have somebody around me who really understands all this stuff, and I could show it to them and say, what have I done? Why is it flaring when it's meant to be a no-flare bind-off? But, you know, I don't have that. So I then tried a standard bind-off, you know, knitting to pulling one stitch over the other, but that made the jumper too tight to get on and off easily. Now, because the body of the jumper was quite roomy on Polly, I thought we'd have more room to play with her getting it on and off, and I'd even gone so far as to think this might be a canny move, because it'll help to bring it in a wee bit, give it that bit of shape, but no, she could barely get it on and off. So in the end, I plumped for a tubular bind-off, which I had seen recommended on Instagram. And I can only come to the conclusion that I really balls it up here and there, because I found it very difficult to, in the video I just couldn't quite 100% be sure of what was going on, no matter how many times I watched it and so on. And so it's done and it's okay, but I'm fairly sure that's not as good and as smart as a tubular bind-off is meant to be. Anyway, there's no flare and it allows her to get it on and off. So from that point of view, job done. Body done. Time to turn to the sleeves. There's the option for tapering or not, but on this occasion we chose the tapering. In themselves, the sleeves went okay, though they took about a million years. But the way that this is made and designed and created and structured, and incidentally, I noticed little thing right on the bottom of the pattern that says, this pattern is based on one of the designs made using a mobile app, Raglanify. If you're interested in a customised raglan sweater pattern according to your measurements, check out raglanify.com, which throws a whole new light element on this business of true raglans or not. It's quite interesting. Anyway, so what you do with these is you come back to the armholes and you pick up for the sleeves. I ended up with gaps in the underarms from the picking up. I've always been a bit about picking up because I never feel I do it neatly. I feel it's prone to gaps, and these underarms just bore out all my worst fears. So when I came to finish the jumper, you know, weaving in my ends and so on, I bodged something with weaving in the ends, which actually looks like it's worked out okay. I hope it's not going to be at all lumpy for her. The jumper has now dried. It's actually completely finished and blocked, and it's been on the line and come in the house, and it's on the clean washing pile now, but I've not inspected the underarms yet. But we'll see what she thinks when she wears it. So finally, the neck. This has been one of the hardest parts to get right. Polly likes what I consider to be quite a close-fitting round neck, but then as a V-neck girl, all round necks look a bit choking to me. Because Brick was already on the larger side for her, but we'd felt that the size down wouldn't have worked. For jumpers, she doesn't like close-fitting. And if we'd gone a size down, it might have sort of been a little bit too close fitting around the chest for her liking, which is why we plumped for the medium. But because the medium was roomy on her, proportionately, the neckline was coming up much larger than she liked. So as I started the ribbing, I did sort of alternate K2 togs to reduce the size evenly. But after a couple of attempts at that and frogging, oh, it just wasn't working. In the end, the best move was to do a couple of inches of... I'm sorry, excuse me, there's someone at the door. Lost people, easily done around here. That's them on their way. So, yeah, anyway, doing this ribbing, the best thing to do was from the point where I should have been picking up to begin the ribbing on the neckline, instead what we felt was the best option was to continue the stocking stitch and do a bit of even decreasing as it went. It does interrupt the line of the yoke, but there's just not much I could do about that, because of course that point I was picking up from was the actual original cast on point for the entire jumper, so I couldn't change that. That die was really cast on. I ended up with a couple of gaps there too from the picking up. I've managed to improve them when I was weaving in my ends. They're still sort of visible. I mean, in the end, this jumper is not an example of technical expertise by any means. And what it has taught me, this bit in particular, is that if the overall measurements are too big for my daughter, we have to find another pattern. I mean, if it's one that's cast on from the neck down, then definitely for sure we have to find a different pattern. If it's one, well, I mean, there aren't that many jumpers knitted from the bottom up, as far as I can tell, but if that is what it is, then I suppose there are, well, maybe it's not that unusual. That's the kind of thing we'd have to go for, because then you can potentially amend the shaping as you go. As we were faffing around trying it on and trying to sort out the welt and the neck and so on, you know, be careful because the needles are in there and don't get the needle stitches off the needle and all this stuff. Oh, it's a right pain. At one point, Polly said to me, "It's fine if it's not quite right. I can wear it around the house in the winter." Which, if I'm honest, wasn't what I wanted to hear after countless hours of work and rework and buying the yarn. When I realised the first time that I had to undo the welt, Polly asked me if that wasn't a bit soul-destroying, and I told her that although it was a bit of a pain, it was nowhere near as soul-destroying as knitting the thing and then her never wearing it because she didn't like it. So to summarise, this jumper is, in itself, a perfectly pleasant garment, but the sizing just wasn't quite right for my girl, and that caused problems. Unusually, no bind-offs were stipulated, which was no doubt the designer giving us a free hand. And quite honestly, when I do patterns sometimes that say, use this cast-on, use this bind-off, sometimes I think, shan't, is one I prefer. But on this occasion, I could have used a steer on the welt bind-off, just for it to be neat and right. I'm so delighted to be finished that I doubt I'll be making another brick, but it's a perfectly reasonable pattern, a perfectly decent plain jumper, if that's the sort of thing you're looking for. The first garment I ever talked about on this pod was a cardigan I'd made for my mother. Freudian slip. Was a cardigan I had made and then given to my mother as the sizing was all up the spout, which absolutely is the story of this entire podcast series. It's definitely a theme. She's worn it a great deal, which has been quite pleasing actually, but she asked me the other day if I could change the sleeves for her. They're longer and baggier than she likes, and she wants me to shorten them by several inches. She is shorter than me and she's slighter than me, so I'm not surprised that the sleeve length that worked on me is going to be a bit too long for her. She turns them back on themselves to make a chunky cuff, which, you know, in the winter is fine. But I know it's becoming annoying for her. So I can do that. At least I have a mental picture of how to go about it, which involves probably putting in a lifeline to where she is happy with the length and then basically just frogging back to that point and then finishing them again at that point. She actually wants them more or less in a 3/4 sleeve length, which I can relate to. I find even in the winter that's a really useful length if you're cooking, cleaning, doing things, you know, rather than having chunky cuffs dangling around your wrists and getting dirty. But, you know, theory is a wonderful thing. So my mental picture of how it might go is not how it might actually go, but I want to get on with it before the colder weather arrives. Colder weather, what a totally unimaginable concept at the moment, as we all swelter in the UK. Apologies if you're in Iceland and getting all our rain. but I'd like to get on with that project now, and it's quite nice to have something completely different from what I've been doing. I have another old project that needs modifying. I made myself the Pearl Soho shrug 2 years ago, and I got it out the other day to try with a dress, not the one that I originally made it for, but another one that's kind of got browny orangey colours in it. That's just my inner hippie trying to get out, because I thought the colours would work well. But putting it on, it suddenly seemed rather big and gapey across the back. And no, sadly, there's absolutely no chance that I've lost weight. It always was a little bigger than it needed to be, largely because I was knitting at sports day when I was making the bits, getting towards the end of needing to... You basically make two bits and seam them together as you cast off, which it sort of forms this little seam down the middle of the back, which I never actually was entirely happy about. I would have liked to have made it in one piece, which I think would be a relatively straightforward pattern modification. Anyway, I got carried away with the knitting, which made at least one of the pieces a bit longer than it needed to be. But it wasn't too big when I wore it before. I didn't feel like it was too big. I mean, it might just be because, again, it's a cotton yarn. It's maybe just stretched a little and not pinged back. But it did make me think that because of the way that you work that bind off seaming, I could probably undo it fairly easily and just redo it a few rows further in on each side. So I'm going to tackle this jumper sleeves for my mother first, and then I'm going to have a look at modifying that, because it's a shame. It's great to have a shrug that goes so perfectly colour wise with this particular dress it was made for, but it strikes me as a shame to have made it and just never ever wear it other than the once in a blue moon that I wear an evening dress. So if I can modify it, then there's a chance I might wear it a bit more frequently. However, before I attack either of those, I need to finish the second owly sleep sack, which I currently have on the needles. The baby, I got a little reminder yesterday from a picture of my cousin looking fit to burst on Instagram. The baby's due in a month, so I really need to be finishing it off. I had planned to include all the colours of the Zimbabwean flag as a reference to the baby's heritage, but I've now decided against it because of the yarn textures involved. The yarn I'm using for the main bit, Lily Sugar and Cream Twists, another 100% cotton yarn, has a very specific texture and finish. It reminds me of those stripy paper straws, and I'm thinking that adding in any other yarn from any other range would upset the lie of the finished item, and that would be a shame for me. When I made the last one for a different cousin, I wasn't happy with the hat when I made it. It just, apart from the fact it took me, again, about 3 goes, I just in the end just didn't particularly like it for what it was. So I'm going to be looking for an alternative hat to go with this sleep sack, and I will just quietly ditch the owl motif. It's sweet, but it's not critical to the whole thing. and there's absolutely no stretch in this yarn. I mean, obviously cotton yarn is not known for being stretchy, but this, I think because of the way this is spun with the different colours in it, it's even more intransigent than usual. So doing the owl cable, which you do that very early on in the sleep sack, was quite hand destroying. Anyway, I've nearly finished the main part of the sack. I reckon I've got 5 or 6 rounds to go on that, and then I start on the decreases. Other odds and ends. I'm planning on doing some dishcloths. Like many people, we're trying to decrease the amount of plastic we use. Not just jumping on the bandwagon, it's something I've had an eye on for a while, but it's baby steps, it's always baby steps. It's got to fit in with budgets and daily life and all the rest of it. But I've been thinking about making some dishcloths so I can stop buying those plastic washing up sponges. I don't go through vast numbers of them, and we always wash them and keep them and use them for scrappy jobs and, you know, cleaning the loo and all that sort of stuff, but I'd love just not to be buying them in the first place. So I'll be looking out some patterns and using up odds and ends of cotton yarn. I know you can get hard wearing cotton yarn specifically designed for dishcloths, and that's great, but I want to use up quite a lot, ideally, of what I've already got lurking around. And between the last sleep sack I did and doing this jumper for my daughter, I've got quite a lot of crocus on my hands, so my dishcloths may start to be rather more aesthetically pleasing than perhaps they have been in the past. You may recall about a year ago I had a brief love affair with dressmaking, which came as a massive shock to everybody, not least my mother, because I've always hated it. I enjoyed the process as far as it went. The biggest fly in the ointment was that the sewing machine is at my mother's house, so I can't just get on with things when I fancy. Also, you know, I don't have vast amounts of money for fabric, but you know, if I'm not buying particularly fancy stuff, that's probably something that I could work in on an occasional basis. So we got so far. I'd made the actual main structure of the thing. I'd hemmed all the pieces and I had attached them. My mother put in a couple of darts because she felt the skirt needed it, and I really wasn't going to argue because she's got a huge amount of experience and expertise in these matters. And she gave it to me to put the popper on. Well, that only took me a year. I did it once. It wasn't quite in the right place, and I just basically lost the will to live on it. And she asked me about it the other day, and I said, well, funnily enough, I'd actually been thinking about it myself in this lovely weather and wanting to get it done. So between us, we've actually got it finished, and I just don't know what's happened, but it doesn't particularly fit around the waist. And it's not just because, you know, I'm round around the waist and I would like this, something just isn't right anymore. So she's ended up, it's a wrap skirt, so you do it round your middle and you fasten with a hook and eye, and then you pull the front piece round and you fasten on the other side with a hook and eye or something. That's the theory. But we've dropped, that second fastening has dropped to sort of just below the hip, just because it makes the front sit flat. But it turns out apparently that's a bit of a fashion at the moment. Who knew? That's a total fluke. And my mother has sat 3 toggles on the front, and it actually looks really nice. I really like it. It has the potential to flap open, which, as someone who's not too proud of her thighs, is not particularly what I'm looking for, but it's okay. I was thinking about wearing it today, but I've got to take myself for a haircut, go to the supermarket, I'm helping my mother out with something in public this afternoon, and I thought there's just too much scope for it flapping open. I need to break myself in more gently, so I'm wearing a nice, safe, secure skirt with no flaps. But this other one, you know, I will wear. I think it's a bit big. My mother said she can solve that by changing the darts or putting more darts in or something. But I've worn it, washed it, ironed it, and I'm going to wear it again and see if the material has shrunk down at all, and then we'll see what needs doing with it. I've put a picture on my Instagram feed. I actually really like it for what it is. I love the fabric. I love the colour. I actually like that dropped front on the waist. So that's all sort of turned out for the best, but I'm probably not going to be scrambling to work on another project anytime soon. That's about me, although one wee thing did make me laugh yesterday. It was the school fair, and the school has had a policy recently, when it's been wanting donations for things like that, of the kids having a mufti day and taking in, rather than money, a contribution for the bottle stall or the tombola or whatever it is. So as I'm not going to turn around and look at it like I always do, because it's shaming me, as I have such a huge stash, I thought, well, I know, I'll give some of this to the thing. So my son turned up one day for one of these mufti days with a 4-pack of a lovely light grey DK, albeit acrylic. This is part of the massive Aldi stuff that I bought in the last couple of years. And school was sort of, oh, we'll have to, you know, have to hope Mrs. So-and-so wins that. Mrs. So-and-so, clearly a knitter, I hope, unless she's got some other nefarious purpose for it. So yesterday was the fair. I'd completely forgotten about all this. We were queuing for the sort of tombola thing, you know, any ticket ending in a 0 or 5. And I had to laugh because this poor chap was standing there in front of it, holding this 4-pack of yarn and really not looking like he had a clue what to do with it. So I'm just hoping that the kid's granny knits or something, you know, so that he knows what to do with it. Otherwise, I think it's going to be putting in an appearance at the charity shop someday soon. That's me about done. It's lovely to be back. My hiatus was because I didn't have a great deal to say about a project that was taking me a long time. I don't like to come on and just try and work up something out of nothing when there's not much progress to report. I hope from now on, with these little modification projects I've got on the go and so on, to be back sharing my experiences with you much sooner next time. So enjoy the weather. I hope you do enjoy the weather. Enjoy your knitting. What are you knitting in the summer? It's that same old thing every time. What do you do in the summer? No one wants to be swamped by an enormous jumper. I had a similar problem last year when I was knitting a huge jumper for my huge husband because I didn't want to be swathed in it, and the weather was nothing like as good as this. So I'm very glad to have the jumper off my hands and be working again on smaller projects. So I look forward to being back with you soon. Bye.